Chapter 42, A Promising Shidduch. Raviel remained in Prague for the next 5 years. He studied constantly under the direct guidance of Revelio Balshem. During this time, he reached the highest levels of Avedis Hashem and became a true master of Kabbalah. It was clear that the neshama of the Balshem was tightly linked with the neshama of Raviel, and he taught him the deepest secrets that can only be revealed to the very few exceptionally holy people. After 5 years, Revelio told his student to return to his hometown of Zamaj. The Baal Shem felt that his student was now prepared to begin the special mission that Hashem had in store for him. Indeed, when Revelio passed away some time later, it was Revelio who became the next leader of the Nistarim. Revelio opened a yeshiva that remained in Zamaj for the next 50 years. There, the students studied Kabbalah along with their niglas studies. However, Raviel did not only teach Torah, he also served as a Rebbe for the countless people who became his followers and sought his guidance and inspiration. Raviel became known as an exceptional tzaddik. He was a true example of Chazal's teaching, a tzaddik decrees and Hashem fulfills. Reports of his astonishing Ruach HaKodesh and countless miracles as a result of his blessings spread far and wide. And people referred to him as Raviel Baal Shem, or the Baal Shem of Zamaj. Then, in the years 5408 and 5409, corresponding to 1648 and 1649, the peasants, farmers, and Cossack soldiers of Ukraine rebelled against the Polish authorities. Led by a cruel, evil man named Bogdan Chmielnicki, who convinced many people that the rulers of Poland were deliberately making them poor and miserable. Surrounding himself with an army of wild, angry men, he began a fierce war to take control of Poland. History has shown that when people need someone to blame for their problems, they never fail to accuse the Jews. In this case, what began as a rebellion against the Polish authorities quickly turned into cruel pogroms against the Jews of Poland. If you remember the story of Zechariah Yerucham, the orphan survivor of Nemirov, you will recall that around 100,000 Jewish men, women, and children were tragically killed by their Ukrainian neighbors. In one town, when the Jews heard that the Cossacks were approaching, they fled for their lives. The Jews boarded a ship, hoping to sail away to safety. Hundreds of terrified men, women, and children crammed inside the ship's hull and completely filled its deck. The sailors desperately tried to raise the ship's anchor to set sail, but the ship would not move. The Jews watched in horror as the wild Cossacks on horseback roared into view, screaming and shouting as they neared the stuck ship. It seemed certain that they would soon reach the trapped Jews. At that time, Raviel Baal Shem happened to be present in the town, and he boarded the ship together with the other Jews. When it became obvious that there was no natural way to save the Jews from a horrible death, the Baal Shem quickly wrote a small note and attached it to the floor of the ship. Immediately, the sailors were able to move the ship away from the shore. The Cossacks were furious. They jumped into a smaller boat and tried to catch up with escaping Jews, but they could not. Even though the large ship was overloaded with people and low in the water, it rushed through the water with miraculous speed. The angry Cossacks could not keep up and were forced to turn back. This incident, along many similar events, could not be explained according to the laws of nature, and caused the people to respect the Baal Shem even more, and his fame spread far. This was just one of the stories about the life of Raviel Baal Shem that Baruch heard while celebrating Pesach in Deber Missel. He learned much more about the Nistarim and their wonderful leaders from Yitzchak Shaul and others. It was clear that the Nistarim and their leaders had prepared the Jewish people for the teachings and ways of Chassidus, which were introduced much later by Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. During one of their discussions, Yitzchak Shaul told Baruch a wonderful story about the Baal Shem Tov himself. The story took place a number of years ago when Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Rav of Harki, was still the head of the special yeshiva that he founded in the city. His yeshiva only accepted young students who were especially gifted and scholarly. One of them was a student named Lippa. Lippa had a very clear head and was blessed with the ability to understand new concepts quickly. He was outgoing by nature and friendly with people. He was handsome, could sing beautifully, and was pleasant to be around. Lippa always had something interesting to say. A rich man in Harki named Reb Tzadok Hillel asked Rav Nachman Yitzchak to find a good match for his daughter, a wonderful young woman. The Rosh Yeshiva knew immediately who to suggest. "Take Lippa," he answered, pointing to a student who always stood at the side of the large study hall, joyfully discussing the Gemara and its commentaries with his chavrusa. "A perfect bacher for the perfect girl," he said. Rav Nachman Yitzchak truly wanted the best for Reb Tzadok Hillel, one of the main supporters of his yeshiva, not because of his money, but because of his wonderful character and good deeds. He also had true Yirat Shemayim and a wide knowledge of Torah. Like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, all the people of Harki loved and honored Reb Tzadok Hillel. He was the sort of person that fit Chazal's description of being considered good for heaven and good for people. Reb Tzadok Hillel rented many large estates, including a large fishing area along the riverbanks, a number of flour mills, liquor stores, and many homes. He used these properties to provide countless Jewish families with a means of earning a living. Reb Tzadok Hillel was also blessed with something far greater than riches and a generous heart. He had a beautiful family. His wife was a wonderful woman, and all of his sons and daughters were extremely successful. Therefore, the shidduch between Reb Tzadok Hillel's daughter and the excellent and popular Lippa seemed suitable and guaranteed to succeed. After their marriage, everything seemed bright and rosy for the young couple. Reb Tzadok Hillel built a beautiful house on one of his estates and supported his daughter with all of her needs so that his son-in-law could continue spending his time studying Torah. Unfortunately, this ideal situation did not last long. Buried within Lippa were two particularly damaging midas that Chazal describe as causing a person to be driven out of the world. These midas grew stronger over time and began to cause serious problems. Lippa was jealous by nature. He also loved honor. It did not take Lippa long to notice that his wife's brothers were not Talmidei Chachamim like himself. Instead, they helped Reb Tzadok Hillel manage his many businesses and were very successful. Lippa took no part in the business at all and was expected to devote his time to learning Torah. Instead of realizing how fortunate he was to be able to study the Holy Torah uninterrupted while receiving everything he wanted from his generous father-in-law, Lippa was deeply jealous of his hard-working brothers-in-law. What was there to be jealous about? Lippa was upset that his wife's brothers were receiving honor, not especially from the Jews, but from the non-Jews. You see, for the sake of their businesses, his brothers-in-law paid regular visits to the mansions of the rich, powerful, non-Jewish noblemen and paritzim. The noblemen treated the honest Jewish businessmen with respect and enjoyed chatting with them. Lippa, on the other hand, felt that he was locked up in his home with his books the whole day with no one but his wife. Who would give him honor? Who could he impress with his brilliant mind and interesting character? Lippa felt that he was far better and smarter than his wife's brothers. He deserved to be treated with honor by the noblemen just as much as they did, if not more so. Although he spent his days learning Torah as before, he no longer did so with a full heart. Lippa had promised his father-in-law to spend his first 6 years of marriage studying Torah, but he now waited impatiently until that time would be over.